if you've heard the other three Get Active episodes here on radio, or you got them on our podcast section, you'll probably say, that lad does nothing but give out. And you may have a point. So from the start, I said I'll be completely honest about what it's like to go through marathon training. So if I'm not enjoying it, I will tell you. If I'm in pain, I will tell you. If it's an amazing experience, I will tell you. So far, I've picked up a lot of sore muscles that have eased off recently and a couple of knocks and niggles that, well, I'm still wrestling with. But we soldier on this week on the back of running 12 kilometres on New Year's Eve, and we need to run 5 kilometres on Tuesday, 6.5 on Wednesday, 5 on Thursday, and then 13 on Sunday, and try to squeeze in a little light training on Saturday. I'm actually starting to question the training plan a little bit, so I'm going to give Dr. Diane Cooper from EduFit in Port Arlington a call to have a look over it and tell us where we're going wrong, where we're going right. And I have to pop into Physio Central in Tullamore, where Cathal Egan is going to carry out gait analysis. So let's go.
Get active with Midlands 103, powered by HearMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HearMed.ie.
So on New Year's Day, which was technically a rest day, we decided to bring the family out for a cycle. Nice and easy going, and ended up doing about 6 kilometres in the end, which felt nice. It was a nice little recovery after the 12 kilometres the day before. But then the following day... You hear that sound? That's the sound of the lashing rain beating down on the car as I'm sat outside the gym. And my God, I am thankful I joined the gym on days like this, definitely. When I've just passed people on the road there who are out pounding the pavements, running. And I'm looking at them thinking, thanks be to God, that's not me. Thanks be to God, I'm on the way to the gym to do a workout on a treadmill on days like this. It's Tuesday, and it's the first run after we did 12k on Sunday, an unexpected 12k that was on New Year's Eve, and I'm absolutely buzzing afterwards because I've been doing a lot of moaning these last few weeks. I'm not going to lie to you, because I've picked up injury after injury, but at the moment I feel really good. My calf muscle wasn't aching me after 12k, which is weird. Because it's ached me after much less, and it feels good. I feel good. I feel motivated. I'm buzzing. I'm raring to go in here and to do another 5k. That's the plan for the week, is 5k. Tomorrow, 6.5k, I think. And then Thursday, 5k. And then a long run on Sunday. So we're going to aim for about maybe 13, 14 kilometers, I think. Let's hope I still feel this good after this 5k. So just out from the first 5k of the week, I didn't do 5k. I did over 6.5 kilometers. It's a really weird one because I was buzzing going into it. I flew it. It's really weird. I'd no aches, a little ache in the bottom of my neck, in the middle of my back that seems to keep popping up every so often. But apart from that, the legs, the hips, the calf muscles, God forbid, it had been plaguing me. Perfect. And I just kept going and going and going and going. And I felt good. So I said, look, if it feels good, keep going. And I'm just conscious that I didn't want to overdo it. But it's weird. This sounds stupid. It sounds really stupid. And I understand this. But I always said I'll be open and honest on this journey. And I actually got emotional when I was able to go that far and do that distance, and do that speed, and still be very, very comfortable. I don't know why. I'm not sure. Hopefully, it's me kind of turning a corner, or my fitness going up a level. But it just felt really good, and I absolutely enjoyed that. I'm absolutely on a high after that. And I don't know why. I didn't do anything different. I didn't approach it differently. I didn't eat anything different. I didn't sleep anywhere different last night. I didn't do anything different. But for some reason today, I just feel incredible. So look, it may be a false dawn. I don't know. It's weird. And tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to run. I think I'm going to deviate away from the plan a little bit. And I might go for a cycle instead. Or hop in the exercise bike. Whatever, depending on this weather. But yeah, I think I'll do something like that and then hope to go another distance on Thursday for a run as well.
I popped into Cathal Egan in Physio Central Tullamore because he said to me, come in and get your gait analysed and we'll have a look at your feet. So some people got in touch to tell me about the importance of good runners and insert soles when you're training.
We're basically just doing kind of a quick check on foot shape, movement, type of foot. We'll do a quick scan on the gait plate, which does ground reaction forces. Basically tells us where your body weight is going as it travels through your gait cycle, basically. So where your body weight travels through your foot. After that, then we'll do a quick 3D scan on the foot.
So here, Cathal is telling me to do squats, and he's analysing the shape and the movement of the foot. He's rotating my feet and making observations.
I can bend the big toes up here, non-weight bearing. Okay, so a little bit tight there overall, I'd say.
He actually pushed my big toe back on my right foot, and I felt pain straight away. It shot up my back. And it's somewhere I'd feel a little niggle after running, but I'd dismiss it, I'd forget about it.
So that's around for the first MTP joint, we call that round sesamoid bones. You have two little floating bones in underneath your first MTP joint here. Reasonably common, probably seen probably four or five of them over the last year with runners. So definitely one to... we'll zone in on a little bit more, okay,
yep,
when we look
perfect
at it. So,
okay. Great.
So we're setting up our gait plate here.
So now we have to get onto the gait plate, which analyzes where you put pressure on your feet when you're walking or running. And at this stage, we're looking at the results.
God, you never think the amount of weight that's been put on two small parts of the foot.
That's roughly where it should be. Sometimes that can get overloaded. That's when we could talk about that kind of pain.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're pronated or you have that kind of subtalar pronation. And all your body weight is transferring.
I was absolutely astonished at how little your feet touch the ground during every step you take. He's showing me a little heat map of the parts of the foot that touch the ground, and it goes from the heel along the side of the foot up to the transverse arch, which would be a little arch from the base of your big toe to the base of your little toe, and then a gap, and then your big toe touches the ground, and every other toe you go along, it seems like the impact lessens. But to me, it looks like about only 50% of your foot actually touches the ground when you walk. I was absolutely gobsmacked by that. Cathal is now taking a 3D picture of my feet.
So I'm going to put my knee up here on the bed and just keep the leg at a right angle or so, is it?
Just let it relax from there then.
Okay. So you're able to use a software on the tablet, Cathal, is it?
It's just on an iPad. It's a wiki scan, so it's 3D camera.
Okay. So we're having a look at a 3D scan of my feet. I've never seen my feet at this angle before.
From the inside there too. So that just gives, when we send these for, you can see you can get the proper arch height, you can get the...
Wow, that's position. Really freaky. We're just looking at a foot rotating on an iPad.
You can see the bottom of it there too.
Yeah.
So you can even see the skin points if there's any, when that's put up on the screen, you can see if there's any... pressure points or kind of callus formation, skin formation. But that's kind of the main thing we'll look on here is your ankle position.
Oh, yeah.
Arch height.
So now what Cathal is going to do is send off the results to the company and they'll custom make the insert soles for my runners. And I'll have to break them in over a period of about 2 weeks and then I'll be ready to try them out. But since I called into Cathal in Physio Central in Tullamore, I will never look at shoes or runners the same way. When you see what damage the wrong runners can do or not having the correct inserts, I think it would be absolute madness to just throw on any old piece of footwear, which is what I normally do.
It's Thursday. I've started to notice a common theme in my training is that Wednesdays don't seem to happen for one reason or another. So yesterday I was supposed to go for a run or do a cycle or something, but I was just so tired I couldn't do it. Just coming back after Christmas, my sleep is all over the place, and I said I'd go to bed early on Wednesday night and have done with, but I ended up staying up to watch the darts. Yeah, the darts final. So that was that, goosed. So as a result, I'm very tired today. But I'm going to soldier on. I'm going to head in here to the gym and I'm going to try and do as much as I can on the treadmill. Last time I did 6.5 kilometres. I'm going to try and do 6.5 again or something similar and just play it by ear and see how it all goes. So wish me luck. I don't know what that was about, but I went in to do a 6.5 kilometer run, and I ended up doing a 7 kilometer run in about 40 minutes. And then I did a cycle for about half an hour. So I feel great after it. I felt good during it, and I felt great after it. So I just said, look, to hell with it. I don't know, was it guilt from missing out on doing a workout yesterday or something? I'm not sure, but I feel good. I feel suspiciously good, because I have been giving out a lot lately about sore limbs and sore muscles and all sorts of aches and pains, but I feel really, really good. And as I said to you, suspiciously good. I'm waiting for a bill in the post or something like that, or something to kick me up the arse. I'm suspicious, but we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Have I turned a corner in terms of fitness? Have I overdone it? And I don't know yet. It's bizarre. I'll keep you posted. Next up is a little bit of a break for 2 days, and then it's a long run on Sunday.
I decided to bite the bullet, and while I was waiting for the insert soles to be made up, I went to the sports shop and I got a new pair of runners. The difference is amazing. Heavenly almost. And the amount of people that tell me they get custom-made insert soles made up took me aback a little bit, actually. But it makes perfect sense when you think about it. They're the only things that separate you from the ground, and a number of shin, knee, calf, hip and back problems can stem from poor footwear. You wouldn't buy cheap tyres for your car now, would you? So why would you buy cheap footwear? That's what I'm thinking. So I take my new runners with me and we head for the road for our long run on Sunday.
So that's it. We just finished 15 kilometres exactly. So that's our long run today. Starting out, it was very icy on the roads. So we decided to go a gritted route on the roads. And with that comes, I suppose, a little bit of difficulty. There's a safety risk as well. You know, we're on a national road and cars are going past at like 100 kilometres an hour, some even faster again. And you would be wary out in the road, Chris. There was times where there's cars about 12 inches away from you.
Yeah, there was people overtaking beside us and all. So it's, safety is very, very important. And I suppose today we were, I'm not going to say responsible, but the fog probably had a factor for us today, you know. Yeah. But we had fairly bright clothes on, which is very important. So like we could be seen, but definitely, yeah, it's definitely something to factor in, all right?
Absolutely, and the ground was slippy. It was 4 degrees, sharp frost last night. And, you know, there's times where obviously the shade is covering the footpath, so you have to hop from the footpaths onto the road and vice versa. You're only one footstep away from an injury, aren't you?
That's the truth, yeah.
It's something, you know, you don't really think of when you're just going to go for a run, but I think number one priority has to be safety, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, if it means putting it off till the next day where the temperature is a bit more positive, then do that by all means, just for your own safety more than anything.
Even our plan was to run along the Greenway this morning, but you know, we threw an eye down. We were going over one of the bridges, and you could see it was just white.
Yeah, it's just a skating rink, I'm sure. Mm. It's no use to us, really.
Absolutely. Last thing you want to do is injure yourself. So, Christy, fair play. 15K. Amazing work. Well done.
Our longest run is 32K. So next week now, we'll be doing 16K. And I haven't actually told Peter this off air, but I have two surprises planned. So.
Two surprises?
Next week, just... we'll have a bit of fun next week.
Is that a good surprise or a bad surprise?
The recordings could be very interesting. But no, it's all good, it's all good.
I look forward to it.
You should, I think.
16K and a surprise next week. Cheers, Christy.
No problem at all.
Something amazing has happened when we said we'd do the half marathon in Mullingar on St. Patrick's Day. Yep, a few friends were inspired to join in.
Hi Peter, Morris here. Best of luck with the training for both the half and full marathons. I'll join you for a few runs along the way. Bardstown, a great service to fundraise. Chat soon.
Hey Peter, David Hollywood here. After giving it due consideration, I'm going to take you up on your very generous offer to run the Mullingar Half Marathon. Let's be clear, I'm in it for free training tips. Now, hopefully this is the start of an Avengers Assemble montage.
Hey Peter, Michael here. So I took the weekend to think about that offer he gave me about the half marathon in Mullingar. And you know what? I think I'll do it. Surely it can't be that bad.
Hi, Peter. With all of the naivety and the optimism of somebody entering Married at First Sight, I do. For better or for worse, for fitter for sure, in less sickness and more health, I am launching myself right out of my comfort zone. I can't do the Mullingar, but I will commit to the training. I do. Am I mad?
Peter, you can count me in. Ronan Berry here from Taking Care of Business. New Year's resolution number one, don't read texts, WhatsApp messages or emails from Peter Dunn, because there's always a catch. But in fairness to you, as always, there's a great catch on this one. I can't join you on the day for the half marathon, but as I said before, happy to contribute in my own way. Maybe run another half marathon later in the year myself.
That is absolutely amazing. So we're going to have a Midlands 103 team running on St. Patrick's Day in Mullingar, which will be absolutely amazing. Will you be joining us? As I said to you earlier, I'm questioning the plan we're using for training. Do you have to stick with it? Is it overdoing it? Is it underdoing it? I'm not sure. So I gave Diane Cooper from EduFit in Port Arlington a call to go through the plan and tell us more.
So my first question, Peter, what are you doing to yourself, Anna?
I don't know. Blame Christopher.
Don't blame me.
Well, first of all, like, it's fantastic. It's really great. It's, you know, to turn the new year and have these types of goals and a big one, which is fantastic. So as you mentioned, you did send me, I have a kind of a one page plan here. I think it's 18 weeks.
Yeah.
But before I can even, like, you know, dissect the plan, there's some kind of really important questions before you can give advice. So, like, what would normally happen is you'd collect a little bit of background information and then you can give advice on that. So we're literally starting from scratch here because I don't know what you're at.
Either do we.
So the important questions. So, Peter, look, I might just stick with you for a sec. Like, so what's your training history? Like, have you done anything like this before in terms of endurance events?
Never, ever. The furthest I've ever ran was about 5K and I got bored, Diane, to be honest with you. So, yeah.
So you've picked the perfect event for you. So, So 5K, right. And Christopher, for yourself.
This is my 17th marathon, so.
Ah, okay.
I've been around the block.
So that's brilliant. So you'll have all your strategies worked out and your training plan perfect and all of that. So that's, because you learn so much from each one that you cannot learn when you're looking at something like what I'm looking at here, which is a kind of a pre-planned training plan, right? And the great thing is, Peter, is that you're going to be running with someone who's very experienced, because like the easy part is actually getting up to kind of the 13 mile mark. It becomes a different ball game when you're moving between 13 and 20. And it's a whole other story once you get over 20. And so, like, one of the things I was looking at here, because I suspected, Peter, like, that you don't have an endurance background. So you've given yourself 18 weeks to train, is it?
Yeah.
So, and is that definite? So is there a marathon booked in at the end of the 18 weeks?
Yeah, there's a marathon booked in on the 14th of April.
Okay, and do you, like, what is it? Is it hilly or flat, or where is it?
It's in Manchester. I think it's relatively flat from what we've seen. Anyways.
It's relatively flat, yeah.
Okay, so, right. Do you want the honest advice, Peter?
Absolutely, 100% honest, Diane.
Right, if I was doing this as a first timer and having no endurance experience, I would be giving myself an awful lot longer to train, right? But it is what it is. You have your marathon booked in. You're going to go for it. So my advice would be to do the best that we can do to get you there as well as possible, injury free, ideally, and that you'll get through it as best as possible. And that's it. Sorry. So this has not got to do with performance or anything. This is just to try and get you on the start line and then get you to the finish line.
If I can do that, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be a huge achievement. But because of your background, to be honest, you're going to suffer a bit.
Okay. Right?
Okay. But you know that. And Christopher knows that. And, you know, he's been around this block a good few times. So if we just look at the training there for a sec, the training plan has like 5 sessions on it per week. Are you doing that, or how many are you doing per week?
For me, I'm doing about 5K of a Tuesday
I'm struggling to do Wednesdays as well, but I'm doing Thursdays and then we're doing long runs of around a Sunday. So we're probably doing about 3 runs a week so far.
Consistently.
Yeah, consistently enough, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be better. So you'd be better to pick something that's consistent and that you can build on. So if it's 3, it's 3. You know, so there's no point saying, well, I'm going to do 4 or 5 every week and then that doesn't happen.
Okay.
So if it's 3, obviously you need the long run that you've mentioned, which is perfect, and you have your other 2. So can I ask about the long runs? What did you say you're up to at the moment?
15K yesterday.
15. So what type of running are you doing? Like, is it slow running? Kind of what intensity are you moving at?
Slow as possible. So we're working between 10:15 and 10:30 5-minute miles.
Okay. So that's really good, right? So you'll know that, Christopher. But for you, Peter, it's very important because you don't have the endurance base to keep those long runs really relaxed, nice and slow. And okay. At different points during the long run, if you start to feel under pressure and you know that you're working too hard and breathing too hard, it's really important that you pull it back, because the long run is where you're going to build your aerobic capacity and where you're going to build your ability to tolerate these miles, right? Particularly okay. as it goes on through the race. So that's really, really important. And that's great. So Christopher is a big help here, because what a lot of people mm-hmm. do when they start off in marathons or kind of this type of stuff is that they'll just run too hard all of the time, and it's just a disaster for training. I can see Christopher nodding away there. You probably learned that along the route, Christopher, did you?
Oh, for sure, yeah. The first 10K can burn you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to race day, Peter, hopefully I'll be talking to you before then, but the key is to start out easy, okay? Do not get caught up in it, because if you burn yourself just that little bit too much, you know, within the first hour, it's a long day. Like, it really is. So look, you're doing great for the long run. That's brilliant. For the other 2, are they flat? Are they on flat ground? Or what type of runs are they?
Well, for me, it's treadmill in the gym with the evenings and the way the weather is and all that kind of stuff at the moment. But I think you're out and about, Christy, aren't you?
Yeah, I do a bit. My main run would be out. The run we did yesterday, basically. And then I do track sessions then with the Harriers. I joined there last year and I have to rejoin now. But yeah, the other one's a track session on a Wednesday with the Harriers. So I do either Tuesday or Thursday. Depends on work and whatever else.
Yeah, so well done. Can I ask, are you planning on running together for the marathon?
I don't know. We haven't spoken about that, have we?
I just want to get the 2 of us over the line. I'm not really worried about times and stuff like that.
Because there's a really reason I'm asking is because you're working at 2 completely different levels and 2 completely different types of experience, backgrounds, and really 2 very different training plans. So what's going to happen is if you guys start run together in the marathon, unless Christopher, you pull right back, you're going to burn him off quite quickly, because you're not doing the same type of training really at all. You're going to have so Peter's just going to struggle. So that's if you decide you are going to run it together, which is perfectly fine and brilliant, and it'll be a great experience. You just need to be mindful, Christopher, that you're just going to have to pull back.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've no plans on like sub-4 hours or anything like that.
Okay.
Like, if I run 4:30 to 4:45. I'd be happy out. Even
that's
5 hours. I've often gone beyond 5 hours, like, so it doesn't make any odds to me.
Brilliant. So now we understand how it's going to go. Okay. So
you're
going to help him and support him, and you're going to put
Absolutely.
You're going to work with Peter's level, which is great. Okay.
Absolutely.
Peter, for you, I need to get you off that treadmill.
Really?
We need to get you out of that warm room with no wind or rain or all of if you're going to put yourself and your body through a marathon in only a matter of months, you need to get off that treadmill, right?
Right, okay.
Obviously, I'm saying this, and this week it's quite icy, right? Mm. I understand that will be a case possibly for treadmill running, but after that, you need to be outside battling the elements. It's much more difficult to run outside than it is on the treadmill. And also, what I would do, one thing, there's a lot I would do to the program if we had more time. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing I would do, Peter, for you, for one of your runs, you need a few hills, right?
Okay.
You need a little bit, you need to get some strength into those legs, because once you go past 15 or 16 miles, if you don't have any strength in them, that's where it's really going to start kicking in, right?
And
it's absolutely brutal if or when it happens to you. So one of those runs needs to be a really easy hilly-ish run. They don't have to be huge, just get outside and get somewhere where, even if they're nice slow rolling gradual hills, if you start that now, it will pay you back tenfold by the time you get to marathon, okay?
Right.
So get off the treadmill. Keep your runs nice and easy. You haven't the time or the capacity to run them hard, but get into hills for one of the sessions in the week.
And when you say hills, Diane, should we switch it up a little bit? Should we try like a cross country or something like that? Or should we just try running through one of the forests or something? Are we just sticking to the road?
Without, like, I need an hour to kind of explain all of this, which probably wouldn't be great listening, but you need a lot of things to be able to cope with this event. So you need endurance, you need strength, you need a lot of things, right? And I'm working here with kind of three sessions a week. I understand time is limited and it's winter and I understand all of that. So we need to get the maximum impact for the training that you do. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, it's, well, how can I maximize the three sessions that you're doing? And it's get off the treadmill, get outside. For one of those, yeah, if you want to take it off the road, if you want to take it into the woods, generally where you have some version of hills, perfect. I always did that for all of my endurance events. I always went into a hilly circuit kind of in the countryside.
Right.
You need that strength. You really do. Christopher probably... maybe agree with that, would you, Christopher?
Yeah, you do. I was just saying to him yesterday that we might do a little bit of maybe speed sessions as well. So like fartlek training there on Tuesday or Wednesday, I was going to meet him for a bit of that, but also incorporate a few hill sessions and that kind of stuff to help him along that way as well.
So you can do that. And I know this is a whole new language and everything for Peter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, because of his current level of conditioning and because of the time he has available, that wouldn't be a huge priority for me. So what I would probably do is if you go in a four week training plan, I'd maybe do like, you know, for three of the weeks, get him into the hills, whatever it is, a 5K or a 7K or whatever he does, that he's just doing that continuous steady state running. We're building endurance, we're building strength. Maybe once a month, because he has such few training sessions, do a bit of fartlek or a bit of speed work with him. But it wouldn't be a priority because he doesn't have the aerobic base. Definitely pull it in there every now and again. But I'd be just doing long, slow kind of hills and getting the strength and the endurance up. Can I just ask you, Peter, have you any niggles or injuries at the minute?
Yeah. funny enough, we're on week four this week and I have had awful trouble with my calf muscle and my right leg, and I've had like a little pain in the bottom of my neck, top of my back. I sound like I'm giving out now. But I've even just from yesterday, but I feel good after the run yesterday, but I've just a little pain in the knee, but I think it's something that I'll shake off. But initially, the first 3 weeks, a lot of pain. But now I think I've turned a corner, Diane. Hopefully I have, anyways.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Looking at kind of your background and looking at your current program and the rate of progression, I would expect this, right?
Okay.
Now, it's not going to get better for you. The rate of progression on this plan is high. It's bang, 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 week after week after week for someone who doesn't have a history, right? You're going to struggle, but we need to try and get you there the best that we can. So with the you don't have the strength or endurance basically to be doing the mileage that you're doing right now. Okay. But what you need to do is you can't just let it go and you know, think that you'll shake it off, because you're every week you're adding more overload. It's more mileage, you know, more and more and more.
Okay.
But getting off the treadmill will probably help you. But if you need an assessment, right? So if you need a quick assessment with a physio and a few corrective exercises, which will probably do to increase the strength of the part that's getting injured, I would be doing that now. Don't wait until you start getting into higher mileage, because it's just going to be a worse problem. Okay.
Right.
So definitely do that. You need to just get that looked at. I completely expected, based on our conversation just today,
right.
But don't let that go, because it'll get worse.
Is it ridiculous what I'm doing at the moment, Diane, or do I need to up it a little bit, or is it a bit far-fetched?
Okay, so you've listened to me for months and months and months talking about all of the wonderful benefits of physical activity, and I absolutely stand by that 100%. I love what you've done. I think you are so brave For someone who has no endurance background.
Brave or stupid,
honestly,
one or the other.
Well, you know what? And, you know, no, brave. Okay, so, you know, picking thanks, goals Diane. And dedicating yourself to them and committing to them. This is a big thing, okay? And I've absolute full appreciation for what you're doing. I really think it's brilliant. And I encourage anyone to you know, pick something this year, a big achievement, go for it. But what you're doing now is you're trying to get some advice, which is great, right? That's definitely what I would recommend. The biggest thing I would say to you is, right, because you can have the most wonderful training plans in the world and you can get all this advice and all this type of thing. The biggest thing I would say to you is that you need to listen to your body, right?
Okay.
And if when you start moving into the higher mileage, your body, the calf problem is getting worse. The knee problem is getting worse. You're just dying in all of your training sessions, even though you're trying to run easy. And it's just absolutely becoming something like that. What I would say to you is, okay, you might need to reassess. Okay. And you might need to say, look, I'm doing this, but I need more time and I need to get myself fitter and stronger, right? You could be really lucky, Peter. You could be really lucky. You could be one of these people that can, you know, pull this out of the bag. And I guarantee you, when you get over the finish line, you'll say to me, right, I'll start training now for the next one and actually give yourself 8 or 9 months and take it from there. But I don't want to discourage you. I love what you're doing, but you're going to have to listen to your body because okay. There's not a lot of time to do what you're trying to do coming from where you're coming from.
Diane, that's absolutely brilliant. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a good, honest answer as to what we're doing, how we're doing it. Are we doing it right? And we probably should have checked in with you a couple of months ago as opposed to retrospectively looking back. But I suppose part of this journey is making mistakes, and it's making mistakes on other people's behalves as well, who are following us online, following us on air as well. So hopefully by making mistakes we can help other people to not make mistakes. And of course that's what you do, Diane, in EduFit. You help people through like endurance races and all that kind of stuff as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like my background is ultra endurance, so we have had a passion for it for a very long time. But the making mistakes, Peter, here's the thing. Like I could have sat down with you 4 months ago and I could have done this lovely, beautifully, scientifically balanced program and all this type of thing, right? But it's not until you start running and you start, you know, figuring out, that's what a hill session is like. Oh, right. That's what a fartlek session is like. Oh, right. Now I understand what a long run is like and, you know, the impact it has on my gut. And as the mileage gets longer, you start to figure out, okay, now I realize why I might have needed more training. There's nothing in the world like the real life experience to figure out how to do it a bit better the next time. So all the advice in the world can't shortcut that for you. Okay. So yeah, it's helpful. It's great. But you have to go through this process and you have to figure it out, and you will. And I'm very happy to help you in any way I can. If you decide that you're going to stick with this race and with this training program, the simple things I would do straight away is get off the treadmill and make one of those shorter sessions, get them into the hills.
Okay.
And then keep your long run slow and steady. And I would just focus on that maybe until you get up to kind of the 13-mile mark. And then you're going to have to start getting really serious about your nutrition strategies and stuff like that. But that's a conversation for when that time comes.
Brilliant. And when that time comes, Diane, is it okay to check in with you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because I would love to see how you're getting on. I hope to hear that you're injury-free, you're feeling fantastic, you're loving your long runs, and
me
you're
too.
Having a great time.
Dr. Diane Cooper, thanks so much for joining us on Get Active with Midlands 103, and looking forward to checking in with you again soon.
Best of luck, guys.
Cheers.
Remember, all this madness is for a good cause. It's for Bardstown Children's Charity, and you can pop onto midlands103.com right now if you would like to donate. It's the first thing you'll see is Get Active with Midlands 103. Click on that and you can make a donation. And thanks everyone who's donated so far. Your donation will make a world of a difference in a child's life and in a family's life as well. Next week, that surprise Christy is promising me, I honestly don't have a clue what it is. Let's try switch up the plan a little bit. And while I'm asking my body to do something it's never done before, I think it's probably a good idea to get a health check. So tune in next Wednesday after 8 a.m. on Breakfast, after 11 a.m. on Midlands Today, and get the podcast on midlands103.com or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Get Active with Midlands 103.
Get Active with Midlands 103, powered by HearMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HearMed.ie.